Why don't we hold up our Bible and read the Bible together? All right, so if you have a hard copy of Bible, soft copy of Bible, steal a Bible, hold it up. We're going to declare, this is my Bible. Okay, you all know the drill. All right, so I hope you have learned this by heart, because it's so important for us to lift up the Bible every week and say, this is an authority over us. Are you ready? Lift it high up and say, this is my Bible. Okay, ready? Are you ready? One, two, go. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It informs my mind, inspires my heart, and instructs my behavior. So help me, God. We're going to read the scripture aloud together on the screen so that we are all aligned with the same version. That's why we read it together. All right, ready? One, two, go. Read it aloud. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him, because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you do not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Please be seated. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word. And we are going on in the series of I Am, the seven things Jesus said about Himself in the book of John. We have so far covered, I am the living bread, I am the light of the world, I am the door, and this morning we shall talk about I am the good shepherd. And shepherd and sheep are common analogy given in the Bible, especially between kings and their subjects. And so shepherd and sheep, they are an analogy, for example, for the many Old Testament characters, the great men of God in the Bible, in the Old Testament, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, they are all shepherds. And so here in John chapter 10, let us look at the characteristic of a good shepherd and characteristics of sheep. And so here it says that, you know, verse 3, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. So a good shepherd leads his sheep. So he leads them and he knows them by name. And the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Why don't we read verse 11 together? One, two, go. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And Jesus is our good shepherd. During the communion, we celebrated the fact that Jesus laid down his life for you. And another characteristic is that in verse 14 and verse 3, it says that, I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Okay, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. That is an amazing factor, right? That means Jesus knows us. And then verse 3, he calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. In other words, God knows your name. The shepherd knows the name of every sheep. So if the shepherd knows the name of every sheep, guess again, right? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who created the whole universe, he knows your name. Right? We all have, you know, we don't have good memory to remember names. Many of us struggle with names, right? How many of you struggle with names? All right. Thank God that he doesn't struggle with names. He knows every name and he calls you out by name and he looks for lost sheep. In other words, Jesus not only looked at the sheep within the fold, meaning that they are the Jews. He looks for sheep outside the fold, meaning people who are Gentiles. And so all of us here are Gentiles. Anyone who's not a Jew is a Gentile. So you and I, we are Gentiles. And here the Bible says that the shepherd looks for the Gentiles, meaning us. We have the privilege of receiving the gospel. And so the shepherd looks for lost sheep. And then let's look at the characteristic of a sheep. All right, sheep, we all know. Many of us have heard this. They are dumb. Right? And they are directionless and they are defenseless. Let me give an example here. I remember reading a news article from BBC. And in BBC here, it talks about, you know, this group, this flock of sheep, 1,500 of them. Now, what happened is that one of these sheep jumped down from a cliff. And because one sheep jumped down from a cliff, the other 1,499 followed. Right? That's how so-called dumb they are. Now, 1,500 sheep went over, 400 died. The other 1,100 did not die. Do you know why? Because the 400 that died provided cushion for the other 1,100. So 1,100 sheep survived, but 400 died. And this is news from BBC. That's how dumb they are. All right? And sheep are directionless, meaning that if you don't lead a sheep, the sheep will stray away by themselves. And that is why Jesus talked about the 100 sheep. If one sheep strays away, he looks for that one. One will stray away if they are not guided and led. And then sheep are defenseless, meaning that sheep don't have sharp teeth, they don't have claws, and they don't run very fast. So they are actually defenseless. If no one protects them, they will die when a predator comes along. So this is a characteristic of a sheep. They are dumb, they are directionless, and they are defenseless. And the sheep, the Bible says, Jesus said, listen to the shepherd's voice. Verse 4, it says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him, because they, what? Know his voice. And then verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them, and they follow me. So in other words, sheep will follow the shepherd. So we have looked at the characteristic of a shepherd. We have looked at the characteristic of a sheep. Now, interestingly, the Bible tells us that 200 times in the Word of God, 200 times, he mentioned us as sheep. So if we are sheep, we are, I'm sorry to say this, we are dumb. We are, you know, directionless, and we are defenseless. If the Bible tells us 200 times that we are a sheep, we better take note. In other words, we are all sheep. Everyone say, I am a sheep. And you go, bah. Everyone say again, I am a sheep. Say, bah. Now turn to your neighbor and say, I am a sheep. Turn to your neighbor, tell them, I am a sheep. All right? And then you turn to your neighbor one more time and say, no wonder you smell. Okay. Now, what's the big idea? This is the big idea. The big idea is my sheep listen to my voice. All right? Everyone repeat after me. One, two, go. My sheep listen to my voice. All right? Now, I want to show you a video of what this means. Okay? So you watch this video, then I'm going to comment on the video.
One more time.
Oh, one is
So, my sheep listen to my voice. Now everyone say, bah. All right. So you are a sheep. Now, what's the main difference between a believer and a non-believer of Jesus Christ? Well, the difference, a big difference would be that the believer has a personal relationship with the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ. So we have a personal relationship. In John chapter 8, verse 47, let's read it aloud together. This is an important verse, all right? Ready? One, two, go. He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Do you belong to God? So here the scripture is clear. You will hear God. And if you're not a believer here this morning, I pray that by the end of this celebration, you will be a believer. Because if you so desire to hear the voice of God, the way you can do that is to know God and know Jesus, invite Him into your life. Now, therefore, the difference between a believer and a non-believer is that the believer has a relationship with God. And in any relationship, it's a two-way thing. It's never a one-way. In any relationship, someone talks, someone listens, and the other party talks and listens. And for example, when you have a decision to make, the difference between a believer and a non-believer is this. The non-believer will gather all the facts that he needs to make the decision on. So he goes out, he does his research, he gathers the facts, and then he makes a decision. Now, the believer does the same thing. He will do his homework. He will go out there, gather the facts, and he will, by the time he finishes with his research, he will have to make a decision. But the difference is this. He will now turn to God, and he asks God, God, this is what I think is the best decision. What do you think, Lord? And the believer, having done the research, will now hear God. And that's the difference between a believer and a non-believer. Now, let me ask you this question. If you are about to make an important decision, wouldn't it good, or wouldn't it be the best thing to ask God, who knows everything? Who knows what's going to happen in the future? If you have to make a decision, wouldn't it be the best thing to go to someone who knows what's going to happen? And that is why the believer takes it one step further. He goes and asks the shepherd, what do you think, God? And so I want to urge you, listening to the voice of God is crucial for the Christian life. Now, is Jesus your shepherd? Yes or no? Let me ask you again. Is Jesus your shepherd? See, even the child say, yes. If Jesus is your shepherd, then Jesus say, my sheep listen to my voice. Jesus said it. I didn't say it. So if Jesus said it in his word, then let me tell you how we can listen to his voice. Do you want to know that? Do you want to know how to listen to God's voice? Because if you so desire in your heart to do that, I believe God will help you to listen to His voice. There are three things that I want to mention to you about listening to the voice of the shepherd as a sheep. I'm coming from the perspective of one who is the sheep. Okay? So the first thing is this. You have it. You have the ability to hear the voice of the shepherd. Now, all human beings are hardwired in that sense. We are created with an instinct. The instinct to communicate with someone, to communicate in a relationship. That is why we don't live Lone Ranger Christians or live Lone Ranger life. Everyone wants to relate to somebody. Why? Because that's God's image. We are told that we are created in God's image. And what is God's image? God's image is the image of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He is a Trinitarian God, meaning that in the Godhead Himself, He is three, yet one. One, yet three. This is the mystery of faith, for the Christian faith. That they are always living in relationship as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So God is a communicating God. He is a relational God. He is a hearing God. He is a speaking God. Now let me ask you this question. If He has created you in His image with the ability to communicate, wouldn't He communicate with you? It doesn't make sense if He doesn't communicate with you. All right? So He wants to communicate with us. That is why He calls you out. Because that's his desire. That is His image, and He has created us in His image. And that is what makes us human. To communicate our deepest feeling with Him, with God, with each other. And this separates us from the animal kingdom. That's why people are unique. Do you know there are people who talk to plants? Are you like that? Do you talk to your plant? All right? Now, I understand that from research that, you know, some people say that in their research that when you talk to plant, all the carbon dioxide that come from your mouth, right, will make the plant grow better. Right? So that's why you keep talking to the plant. Now, but if your neighbor sees you talking to the plant, they may think there's something wrong with you. Maybe they may be thinking that you can't talk to your husband or can't talk to your wife. I can't talk to your children. I don't know, right? There may be something wrong with you, but you are deeply convicted that you need to talk to your plant. But if someone talks to the plant for relationship, there's something wrong, right? Because you don't talk to plants. But if you want to talk to plant to help them grow, go ahead and talk to plants. But I pray that you have genuine relationship with other people. In Japan, for example, there is a rental service where you can rent somebody for a conversation. That's an amazing, amazing service. It's so sad that you need to rent somebody to have an honest conversation, all right? It's even gone beyond that. You know, some people have, you know, life-size dolls in their home so that they can relate to this inanimate object because they have given up on human relationship. It's so sad. That is never the image of God. Do you know, even dogs communicate with one another? You realize that around your home, in your neighborhood? You know, sometimes in the middle of the night, of all time, in the middle of the night, one dog will start, roof, 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 all right? When he starts this, the other neighborhood dog will go, roof, 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 then roof, 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 and roof, roof. Then begin the whole neighborhood, all right? All the dogs starting communicating with one another. And you feel like going out to the dog and say, shut up, all right? I even have a dog, all right, down the road. I realize that every time he barks, roof, roof, all right? Then I hear an echo coming back from the other house, you know. It's an echo coming from the other end of the road. And then he barks at his own echo. Ruff, 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 ruff. They keep doing that, right? Now somehow, dogs wants to communicate, but we do not know how they communicate. And because I think that is even a desire of the animal kingdom. You know, even my neighbor's dog, right? And whenever the Sao Kaopochi van comes along, you know, the old newspaper, Sao Kaopochi, Sao Kaopochi, and then my neighborhood dog would do this, ooh, ooh. It's the same pattern every time. Every time he will bark in a different way, but when that van comes along, somehow he has identified with that van, and he goes, ooh, ooh. It's a very funny dog. All right. And if you have a dog, for example, you go back home this afternoon, and the dog will come out to you, right? Man's best friend. They'll come to you, they'll bark at you, they're so happy, they'll wag their tail, and you go up to them and say, hello dog, call you by the name, hello dog, all right? And you are the cutest dog, but you are the stupidest dog, and you are the ugliest dog. They will still be very happy if you want it. Right? Because they just want to communicate, but in a different level. So when it comes to human beings, even a baby, those of your mothers understand this, all right? When a baby cry, after a while, mother can say, you know, hey, the baby is hungry, or the baby is tired, or the baby needs a nappy change. As far as I'm concerned, it sounds like the same cry. But the mother can detect that. And when the baby comes home, what do? All right, new baby, come on, hello, goo-goo-ga-ga, and you go nearer to the baby, making faces at the baby. But actually, let me tell you that babies are born with long sight, you know. The nearer you go to the baby, the blurrer you become. So they are not actually laughing and smiling at you. They actually, that's just a reflex action. I'm sorry to break this news to you. Because they actually can't see you. But what is the innate desire of all human beings? When a baby comes home, we want to communicate. Day one, we want to communicate with the baby. That's inside us. It's innate. It's inbuilt, hardwired. We want to communicate in a relationship. And tell you what, it's the same with our Heavenly Father. When He creates us, He desires to have a relationship with you. So He wants to come to you and He's goo-goo-ga-ga over you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to relate to you. God is not that God up there, silent, angry all the time, waiting to punish you and scold you. Somehow we all grew up with that image. You know why? Because that's how maybe our parents treat us. Because parents is a representation of God, you know. When our parents treat us in a certain way, that's what we think God will be like. And that is why I'm passionate about godly parenting. Because we communicate what God is like to our children. So the first thing we need to know is that you have it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you have it. You have the ability to hear or listen to the voice of God. So we have it. We have the ability. The second thing is this, that you can learn it. Everyone say, you can learn it. Now, children need to be taught how to communicate. So we teach them words, we teach them grammar, sound, we teach them what to say and when to say. So for example, for our children, we tell them that when someone gives you something, you must say what? Thank you. If you don't tell them, they will not know how to say thank you. So you tell them, say thank you. So you can know a child's upbringing by the way he responds socially to the people around, whether they are taught well in a home. So when we tell our children, when you don't understand what someone is saying to you, what do you say? I beg your pardon. Right? Don't say, what? You say, I beg your pardon. Right? But if you at home do, what? They also come out and say, what? Because children see, children do. Right? So, learning to listen to the voice of God can be something that we learn. And guess how God teaches how to listen to Him? God calls it prayer. God gave us prayer to communicate with Him. A child was asked, what is the name of God? And this child enthusiastically turned to this person and said, God's name is Harold. He said, why do you say God's name is Harold? I heard mom and dad praying that prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So his name must be Harold. Okay. Now, the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Right? So you know the Lord's Prayer? Okay, from Luke chapter 11, Jesus was praying, and the disciples saw Jesus praying and said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Notice that? He said, Lord, teach us to pray. In other words, prayer is something that God can teach us. It's something that we can learn how to do. So we can go to God and say, Lord, teach us how to pray, because this is the way that I communicate with you. So, if you know about prayer, many of you who have been long enough as a Christian, you will realize that prayer is a two-way conversation. It is never one way. Many of us somehow grew up to think that prayer is taking this list of requests we have to God now. And then we started, when we pray, we begin to tell God what we want. And at the end, we say, Amen. Okay? Now, that's only the first half of the prayer. There's a second half of prayer, and that is what? Listening. First half is talking. The second half is listening. And so it's very important in prayer to listen to God, and we need God to teach us how to listen to His voice. And so we need to learn how to do that. Can you imagine now? Let's say after this celebration that you go out and someone calls you. And you pick up your phone and you call. And this person talk for 10 minutes without giving you a chance to talk. 5 to 10 minutes. She or he just keep talking. And then he say, okay, bye. And then he puts down the phone. Now, how would you feel when someone talk to you like this? He just talk, you don't talk. Do you know often God feels like that with you? That you just keep talking. And after 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you say, in Jesus' name, Amen. And then God is flabbergasted, you know. And He's saying to you, wouldn't you want to hear what I have to say about what you just asked me? Basically, you're telling God, I'm not interested to hear what you're saying. So you put on the phone now. God, this is what I want. Thank you very much. Bye. Sounds like many of our children, doesn't it? And so, in some sense, you know, if we want to learn to listen to God, I'm saying an oxymoron statement here. If you want to learn to listen to God, you need to learn how to listen. That doesn't make sense here. Actually, it makes sense. Okay. If you really want to learn how to listen to God, we have to start listening to God. I was talking to this man who is really going through some hard time. When I say hard time, it's actually an understatement. He's really going through a very hard time. All right, his family is falling apart. His own life is falling apart. And as I speak to him, he said, Pastor, I speak to God when you know, but I don't hear His voice. Okay, so I asked him, when do you normally speak to God? Oh, when I'm in trouble. I just spoke to Him the other day, but I don't seem to hear Him. Okay, so I asked him, so you only speak to God when you're in trouble? I say, yeah. What about when things are good? No lah. I don't speak to God. All right. So only when in trouble? I say, yeah. So do you, how's your quiet time with God? Quiet time? Very quiet. All right. I don't spend much time in that. In fact, I hardly find any time to do that. And so I say, well, you mean to tell me that you want to hear God when you actually don't make time for God? He didn't know how to answer me. I say, you say, it's true that all of us long to hear the voice of God, especially when we're in trouble. But because you have not learned accustomed to the voice of God in your daily life with God, how in the world now are you going to listen to Him and recognize His voice? I say, I tell you what, you need to set an appointment with God from now on. You need to make time to learn how to listen to God, read His Word, by the way. God has already spoken often through His Word. He's already spoken, He's in here. Although we have the Word of God, God has spoken to us through His Word, God also, beyond that, speaks to us personally, and many of us have experienced this, right? God speaks to us, right? Maybe not in an audible voice, but we know in our head, right? God has spoken, we know that we know. And so in that sense, you know, if we want to learn to hear God's voice, we need to make an appointment every day to have a conversation with Him. And how do we do that? I mean, let me give you a simple clue here. How do we do that? We have been encouraging you in DUMC here to do that every day. We call it spend time with God, reading the Bible and journaling. See, some of us want to hear the voice of God, but we are not prepared to make an appointment with God, to talk to Him and listen to Him. And in this church here, we encourage you to journal. Why journal? Because journaling slows you down. You write what the Bible says to you, S, Scripture. You write O, right? Observation. What do we observe about this passage we have just read? What is peculiar about this passage? Anything special? And then you go to A, S-O-A. A is application. We say, then how do we apply this to our life? So you write it down. Slow down your life. Slow down your pace. Write down. What is God saying to you through that passage of scripture? Then comes the R, S-O-A-R, soar. R stands for respond. How then do we respond? And that's where we pray. That's when we begin to write down our prayer. And as we write down our prayer, we say, God, speak. God, speak, Lord. And you begin to write down. And over time, let me say this to you, over years now, I've been doing this. I begin now to hear the voice of God as I write it down. So much so that, you know, I begin to even hear God outside the quiet time. God begin now to speak, and I recognize His voice. All right, and I will expand on this a little bit further in my third point. But this is my challenge to you right now. If you want to hear the voice of God, there's no shortcut. Let me give you a 30-day challenge. Just if you say, Pastor, I cannot hear the voice of God. I have difficulty hearing the voice of God. I challenge you right now, a 30-day challenge. You make time with God. You spend 5 minutes, 10 minutes, if you say you don't have time. I guarantee you that when you make an appointment with God, the 5 minutes, 10 minutes will become 30 minutes. Because you enjoy the time with God. The problem with many of us is that we never got started in that. Or we never had the perseverance to start. So I want to challenge you right now, do a 30-day challenge. For 30 days, you sit down with God. Make an appointment with Him. And say, God, speak to me, Lord. And I guarantee you that when you do that, my sheep listen to my voice. That's what He said. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. So I want to challenge you. Spend time with God. Journal down the thoughts in your mind, and God will begin to speak to you. So the first point is that you have it, you can learn it, and the third point is this, you can grow and mature in it. Not only you have the capacity to listen to the voice of God, you can learn to recognize His voice, learn to pray, and then grow and mature in it. Now let me come back to children again. We goo-goo-ga-ga over our children. We teach them how to speak. We teach them how to communicate. But do you know one of the things that we need to teach our children is to grow and mature in their communication skills? I'll give you an example. Sometimes children will speak their mind, right? They will come to you and say, why are you so fat? Huh? When they say that, you say, no, do not say that. You are speaking the truth. But don't say it in front of this person. You know what I'm saying? We need to teach our children to say it at the appropriate time or don't say it at all. Or the child may go up to grandma and say, grandma, why are you so old? No, don't say that to grandma. All right, don't say that. So the children need to know what's the appropriate things to say and what to say, what not to say and when to say it, right? So we need to grow and mature in the way we talk to God. And it is a growing experience. I remember one of my sons. This is at the time in Ruby Cinema, when our church was there in Sipak. And there's this very nice vending machine, you know, with all the drinks in it, okay? One of it is Milo. My son loves Milo, see? And this lady came to tell us later, me and my wife. He said, while I was putting the coin in there, to buy this drink that I wanted, all right? Your son came along, tugged at me, all right? And said, Auntie, I am Pastor Chris' son. Can you buy me a Milo? All right? So when this lady told me, I said, no! You should never do that and use my name in vain, you know? All right? So I said, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that he did that to you. Don't worry, I'll be more than happy to buy him a drink, all right? And she was laughing away about it, all right? She thought it was very cute. I didn't think it was cute. By the time I got home, I sat him down and said, son, do not, all right? Do not, promise me, do not ever go to the vending machine and say, Auntie, I'm Pastor Chris' son, all right? All right? You want that, you take the money from me, all right? So do not do that. Don't you ever do that. Don't let me catch you doing that. Right? And we have to teach our children that. And do you know that sometimes we do the same thing to God? We are so immature in the way we ask God, and God has to teach us, no, don't say that. Don't pray that. All right? You see, there are many voices we hear. Sometimes it's the voice of God. Sometimes I say, not all voices are of God's voice, you know? Sometimes they are the voice of the devil. The devil comes along and whispers certain things to you. And often, many times, it's the voice of the flesh, our human flesh, the sinful flesh. Now, how do you know which one is the voice of God? Now, let me tell you that if it is God's voice, what he said, will never contradict his word. If you come to me and say, God says this, and I know the Bible doesn't say that, in fact, the Bible is against what you have just said, I will immediately tell you, that is not the voice of God. And that is why the Bible safeguards us from hearing wrongly. That is why we encourage you every day, read the Word of God. That's how you mature in your faith, mature in a communication with God, mature in the way you pray and the way you minister to the people around you. So you need to learn about the Word of God, because God's Word guards us against error from hearing. So the more mature you are, the more you know the Word of God, the more accurately you learn to discern the voice of God. And some people, for example, then will swing to the other end. You will swing to the other end to say, well, God tells me everything what I need to do. What clothes to wear, what words to say, all right? Which car park floor I should go to because there's a free parking or empty parking there. God tells me everything about my life. When I hear people like that, I'm a bit concerned. Because I was thinking to myself, when my children are growing up, when they become adults, do I still tell them when to eat, when to shower, when to do this and when to do that, what clothes to wear? I don't. I would trust them in a maturity to make good decisions because they know my heart. So I don't think I want to tell my kids, right, they are now all in their 20s, to still tell them, have you showered or not? Have you eaten or not? Because if I still have to do that, that means they are not mature. They have not grown up. And I believe God often does that to us as well. Because we know the will of God through His Word, because we know what we ought to do and what ought not to do, God then allows us often to make that decisions because we are already grown up. So we need to grow up and make wise decisions. For example, because I'm married to my wife for now for 28 years now, do you know I know what she likes and what she doesn't like? I don't even need to ask, you know. If I think I'm going to do this and with my wife and I know her, I don't even need to ask her. Why? Because I already know. So I wouldn't do it. Because I know who she is and what she likes and what she doesn't like. And so for many of us, we do the same thing on the opposite as well. We go to God and ask some ridiculous question. God, should I buy a lottery ticket today? Maybe can strike, see, give 10% to you. Do you ask questions like that? You don't. Why? Because when you mature in God, you know life is not a gamble. Though. God determines every area of our life. We don't trust gambling for provision. We trust God, not gambling. So some of us here may be young. It's okay. I'm not saying it's okay to buy a lottery. Yeah? I'm saying it's okay to go through that in our mind as we mature, but to recognize at the end of the day, our trust is in God, not in human system. And some of us may even ask, so should I cheat in my exam? Wrong question. You don't even need to pray that kind of question. Should I bribe to win this business deal, God? Right? If I bribe this prophet, give you 10%, we always use 10% as a bribe to God. Right? Can you bribe? No, you don't. Why? Scripture is so clear that do not be corrupt. Do not bribe. It's clear in Scripture. And then we ask God, should I go after this girl? She's not a Christian. Wrong question again. Now, don't get me wrong. God loves that non-Christian. God will one day bring that non-Christian to God if you pray for her. But it's a wrong question. You say, should I go after this girl who's not a Christian and marry her one day? Wrong question. Why? Because God is so clear. Do not be unequally yoked. Because God is more concerned for you. When you are unequally yoked, you make that kind of decision, your marriage is a recipe for disaster. Because both your faith are different. Let me tell you, it's tough. It's really tough. I've counseled many, many couples. It's so tough when they don't have the same alignment in vision and in faith. So there are questions, if we mature in God, we don't ask God because we already know His heart. Voice of God is so clear there in some of these instances. But it's an area where it is gray in that sense. It's not right, it's not wrong. Right? Then listen to the voice of God because He knows best. And then some people want to do a shortcut to hear the voice of God. So what they do is that they take the Bible, and they throw up in the air. right? And then when it comes down, it drops open, right? Then you point your finger, ah, God, speak to me through that verse. Okay? One man tried doing that. He received a big sum of money, and he said, God, what do I do with this money? Because in the heart of hearts, he wanted to use his money for himself, lah, all right? So he decided to throw the Bible up, and he opened up, and he pointed a finger, and it went to Matthew 19, verse 21. Matthew 19, 21 says, Jesus said, if you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. He said, cannot be. Try again. Throw it up. He falls down. He pointed a finger. He went to Matthew 27, verse 5. And he says, and Judas hanged himself. No. Cannot be. One more time. Third time. Threw it up. He came down. All right. And then he went to Luke chapter 10, verse 37. Go and do likewise. Now, hearing God is not magic, all right? It's not like as if you do certain things, throw the Bible up, you know, and all that. And, you know, God will somehow mysteriously, magically, all right, give you an answer. You see, our Christian faith is a faith of relationship. We relate to God, and God relates to us, and He's our great shepherd because we are dumb, we are directionless, we are defenseless. We go to God. And God says, my sheep will hear my voice. And that is the big idea. My sheep will listen to my voice. And can I have the musician to come up here now? All right. Now let me give you the reason why we need to hear the voice of God and hear Him clearly. Because when we hear the Word of God, when we hear His voice, God begins to direct us in our life. We no longer try to run our own lives. That's the problem with many of us. We were still living like a non-believer, a pre-believer. Our attitude, our posture in life is still like a pre-believer. But when we become a Christian, the Bible says that my sheep listen to my voice. So let's learn how to listen to the voice of God. Now, listening to the voice of God is just not about what God says to you. Let me tell you that when you learn to listen to the voice of God, something powerful is going to happen to you. God is going to use you to be a prophetic voice. See, the Bible says that everyone should prophesy. You can only prophesy if you hear the voice of God. And then you can now then release that voice of God to someone else, not only for yourself. I remember one time, I was just passing, it was around about Chinese New Year time, and I was busy, you know, walking around, running around, and suddenly the Lord spoke to me and said, talk to that girl sitting there by herself, right? And I said, okay, Lord, I'm busy, Lord. No, talk to her. It's so clear. I went to her, and I said, hey, you know, I found out that she was actually from East Malaysia, and I asked her, you know, God just stopped me to ask you know, how can I pray for you? He said, I was just sitting there, I was just crying in my heart, she said, you know, because I could not go back this time to East Malaysia and Chinese New Year time, you know, I felt so lonely. I was hoping that someone would invite me to their home. And Pastor, when you came up to me, I knew God answered my prayer. Now, you see, cut the whole long story short, I introduced her to her family, and, you know, she was able to spend a Chinese New Year. Now, these may be simple things to you, but it's important for that girl to recognize that God heard her prayer, and I responded to God's voice, and I listened to that voice, went to her. And that's what happened, all right? And I also remember, you know, being a senior pastor now for the last 6 months now, one of the things I struggle with in my own life is that I say, Lord, I've never done this before. I've never been senior pastor before. No? Right? So God, I need to hear your voice. You need to tell me what to do in the next 10 years. I can plan. I make many plans in my own mind. But remember, the difference between a believer and pre-believer is this. You go to God. Say, God, I want to be clear. I want to be sure. All right. So Lord, you speak to me. So this has been my prayer all the time. I remember quite a few months ago, I was just standing there. I was worshiping God during on the celebration time. At that very moment, God spoke to me and gave me a 4-year plan. All right, this I will share with you in January next year. God says, you will do this in the next 4 years. and I heard the voice of God. I said, God, thank you. Thank you for that, all right? Because I need to know what you want to do for the UMC, not what I want to do, Lord. And do you know what I recognize? The role of a senior pastor? The role of a senior pastor is just to listen to God. What is he saying? It's never my agenda. I recognize this. The moment I do church with my agenda, it will fail. But when I listen as a sheep to my shepherd's voice, God will begin to direct you. Year by year, he will say, do this and do that. Now with that, I'm excited. So I want you to listen to the voice of God. It's not never me alone listening to the voice of God. When I share with you the voice of God, you yourself will hear the voice of God. Just give you one example before I close. My son, a few years ago when he finished his A-level, he came up to me and he said, Dad, I want to do medicine. All right? I said, no, don't do medicine. Why? Expensive. Right? He said, okay, I won't stop you if you really want to do medicine. So I tell you what, I will, you know, put you in a one-week thing with a doctor. After the 1 week, you tell me whether you want to be a doctor or not. So I call up the doctor and say, hey, you know, doctor, could you take my son for 1 week, right? Okay, can. No problem. I'll do that. Do you want me to encourage or discourage your son? I say, no. Just be yourself, right? And after that 1 week, my son came back. Dad, I changed my mind. I don't want to be a doctor anymore. Why? Dad, everything you taught me about family life and all that, I don't think it's possible with a life of a doctor, no? I want the family life that you have modeled to me. I treasure that. So I don't think I can do that with being a doctor. I said, no. Not all doctors are like this, you know? Because this person is a surgeon, right? All right? So not all doctors are like this, you know? No, I want you to pray. Continue to pray, all right? And so a few weeks later, he came back excited from a mission conference in DUMC. He came back and said, Dad, I changed my mind again. I want to be a doctor now. I said, why? Why do you change your mind? This is what he said. God, all right? God spoke to me. Can we imagine our own children when they are 17, 18, 19 years old? They now learn to hear God for themselves. Do you know how worried many of us parents are about whether they survive out there or not? One of my prayers over and over again for my three sons is this. Lord, teach them to hear your voice. When they hear the voice of God, I can release them to the world. Because I can no longer, all right, guard them anymore. Only you can, the great shepherd of the sheep. And so when I heard my son say, I heard, you know, God spoke to me, I knew in my heart of hearts, he's got it already. Because he had heard the voice of God. Now, fast forward 6 years down the road, he's now graduated, first year, doing his internship. He is passionate about being a doctor. I told him, if I'm sick, I want you to be my doctor. Because you're passionate about what you're doing. Because you saw that as a call of God. And so in that sense, we need to teach our young people to learn to listen to God's voice, not the voice of the world. And guess what? As a church, if you are parents, we need to learn to hear the voice of God. Even for our children. Do you want to hear the voice of God? I hope I created a desire, or the Holy Spirit created a desire in you to want to listen to the voice of God. And later on, I'm going to call out people to say, if you want to listen to the voice of God, there's a special anointing here, helping people to listen to the voice of God. If you want that, you come forward, we'll pray for you. All right? So you want to go to God right now. Ask the Holy Spirit, what is He saying to you right now? Hear the shepherd's voice. Just quickly, in the next 1 minute, what is He saying to you? Could you bow our heads right now? I'm in the gallery as well, down here. Don't be distracted by the things around you. Just ask the Holy Spirit. Ask the shepherd, what are you saying to me? Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak to us right now, Lord. Help us to respond to you. And Jesus, you are the shepherd of my soul. And there's a song that we used to sing, even for many of us, you remember this song. And I believe this song, when I was preparing this sermon, it ministered to me. And if you know this song, you sing it together with me as a prayer unto the Lord. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made the choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. One more time, shepherd. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made the choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. Be it in a quiet pasture or by a gentle stream, the shepherd of my soul is by my side. Should I face a mighty mountain or the valley dark and deep, the shepherd of my soul will be my guide. Shepherd of my soul, I give you full control. Wherever you may lead, I will follow. I have made the choice to listen for your voice. Wherever you may lead, I will go. Thank you, Lord. Is that a choice you will make right now? A choice to follow and listen to your shepherd. I'm going to pray. But before that, I want to speak to those who are not Christians yet. You are the sheep outside the fold. And Jesus said He's calling you. He's calling you by name. There may be some of us here who are not Christians. You know, God, Jesus has been calling out your name every day. Because He longs to bring you into His fold so that you can listen to the voice of the shepherd. And if there's anyone here who is not a Christian, or maybe you're backslided away from God, it's not by chance that you're back here in the church. God has somehow brought you back into the fold. And we want to pray for you before I pray for the rest of the Christians. But if you're not a Christian, maybe all you may have backslided away, and this morning you say, Jesus, I want to come back, Lord. And if that's you, if you're not a Christian, you say, today I want to have Jesus in my life. At the count of three, you put up your hand. God sees your hand. I see your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Whether down or up in the gallery, you put up your hand. I see your hand. God sees that hand most importantly. And then I'm going to pray for you. Are you ready to put up your hand? One, two, you're not a Christian, you're all backslided away from God, you put up your hand. Three, anyone, just put up your hand where you are, just in case I can't see you. Or ushers, can you keep a lookout for me up in the gallery? I said, anyone, just put up your hand, because yes, I see that hand. Thank you. Any other hand? Thank you. I see right behind there. Any other hands? Just put up your hand, because God the shepherd sees your hand. Anyone up in the gallery? Anyone? Just lift up your hand where you are. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I see another hand, a young boy who put up his hand. So I may not see your hand, but God sees it. And God knows the desire of your heart. Even if your hand is not up, you're not sure whether you should put up your hand. But tell you what, let me help you by making this prayer right now. Church, can you pray together with me? So that, you know, you give an assurance to the people who wants to receive the shepherd into their life. that confidence to pray that prayer. All right, so you pray together with me, those who will lift up your hands and those who may not have, but you pray this prayer with me. Dear Lord Jesus, everybody, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for being my shepherd. Thank you that you call out my voice. You want to draw me to you. And this morning, I'm responding to your call. Thank you for dying on the cross for me, so that my sins can be forgiven. And today, I receive that forgiveness into my life. Make me a new person, and I am your sheep, and my sheep listen to my voice. Give me ears to hear you, God. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.